Just as a note, Hope and Harry, they're out with family. They had a bunch of things come up at the last minute, and they were like, we got to go. I'm like, you go, girl. You go, guy. You know, when we have family, you want to grab the opportunity while you can, because you may not have another opportunity. And yet, we have the opportunity today is to love our church more than ever, because we need one another. We've got to be there for one another. When God's called us together, is nothing sweeter. Remember Jackie Gleason used to say how sweet it is? You remember back in the 50s and 60s, the old sitcom? It's nothing sweeter than being with God's people. It's the right kind of sweet, you know? Love is not a sickening kind of love. It is a perfect love. It's God's love. It's true love. And, you know, Paul had to go through this. If you look in Acts chapter 19 and 20, remember Demetrius last week? We looked at this and how Demetrius was a silversmith, and he made a lot of money off of this, as well as other silversmiths. And they became angry. You know, the world gets angry at us when we interrupt their work. You know, it is going to be an offense to them, especially when they hear the truth, because some people out there today, they don't want to hear it. And Demetrius became angry. He started to spread lies about Paul, and people can do that about us too today. And you know what? This is what, you know, Paul did, this, that, and the other. And what did Paul do? He didn't say a word. He was quiet. When people make accusations against us today, we're just quiet, you know? It's better to bless those who persecute us, right? Matthew chapter 5. And it's better to be a peacemaker with people, because ultimately the world's going to come after us. We, on the other hand, need to be on the offensive with the gospel and with the love of Jesus Christ. So they had tried with Paul. They did the best they could. 25,000 people went into the amphitheater there in Ephesus. And they cried out, you know, Diana, They're false god. We looked at all that last week. Well, apparently Paul was going to go in there and help defend this faith. Unfortunately, you had a townskeeper, a man that came in, and he was able to quiet the situation. God always protects us. God has somebody always in the back wings that can always come to take care of us. He always does if we trust him. We obey him and not try to do it in our own flesh, because I'll trip over and fall down and hurt myself if I try to do God's work. I'll get in trouble every time. It never works. But I know he loves us. And you know what was beautiful is that there's two people, acquaintances of Paul, that said, don't go in there. God has people here today that can protect us. Say, don't do that. God gives us wisdom. We have a lot of people here who've been matured over the years, who know a lot. Their hearts are right with God, and they beat for the, and they hunger after righteousness, and they share the wisdom as it goes out. You know, they say, my mom used to tell me, she says, the more you spread things out, the more there is for everybody. The more you spread things out, the more there is for everybody. So share and care. And these guys did this back at the end of Acts chapter 19. So there was plenty of love for everybody to go around. So it kept Paul from probably being torn apart. We looked at riots and how it was bad last week. We're not going to get into all of that about riots this week. So the assembly was dismissed. We left off here in verse 41. And so I'm sure if we were going to be overtaken by a mob, we would waste no time in getting out of there. Probably out of the city too, away from the area where the riot was, because on one hand you had the Jewish people, who certain Jews that did not like Paul, and we're going to find out they were out to murder him. And then also you had the Gentiles that did not like Paul, because all the lies that are going around, like I said in Sunday school, sometimes it's easier to believe a lie than it is the truth. So, with that being said, chapter 20, verse 1 says, after the uproar, has the idea of a historical mob was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, remember, we talked about that last week, how there was supposed to be an offering taken up for the Jewish church. Why? Because back in Acts chapter 11, verse 28, we found out that there was a famine in the land. And so what Paul did, and we'll find out here in the next few verses, he sent out some people to pick up some money to help out people that were starving. You know, and our church does that today. Very thankful for the generosity and the giving that we all give to the Lord, because it's better to give and receive anyway. I'd rather have the blessing and the joy of giving to people than receiving, you know. So, looking here, and just got a quote here from 1 Corinthians 16:1-4. So we see that the offering was supposed to go out, and the churches in Corinth and Macedonia and Troas and all these different churches we're going to look at here in a minute. But 1 Corinthians 16:1-4 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given an order to the churches in Galatia, which is in the northern area here. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And there be no gatherings when I come. So when I come, whatsoever ye have approved of your letters, then will I send to bring you liberally unto Jerusalem. And if it be met that I go also, they shall go with me. In other words, Paul was saying, get your collections in order. I'm going to come out. I'm going to bring some people with letters from me stating that this is for the collection. So this is this is something of love. And so it was a love for the church. So, looking here, moving on down here, it says in verse 2, it says, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. Now, he came to Greece, and there were churches there. You have to understand where Ephesus was here in the Aegean Sea. And then you had over, if you take a hook over the Aegean Sea, you had Philippi, Thessalonica, you had Berea, you had Corinth. You had all these churches that were sprinkled in that area. And these people were going to go out, sent by the Holy Spirit, to collect up on these offerings. And today, we have responsibilities that we take up every day so that we can give to people, help people out, love people, exhorting people in the Lord. And so, see here, it says verse 3, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait, in other words, there were Jews ready to murder Paul. Remember I said that earlier, you have people out there who don't like you. They may be angry with you. Remember, anger is the first step to murder. Paul heard these rumors, I'm sure. And so it says here, the Jews laid wait for him. And and as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So in other words, he did not go through his route like he said he was going to. I think some of us today have to deviate from what snares and traps lie for us in this world today. There are many ways that we can deviate from what God tells us not to do. And one of the very first important things is to pray. And pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I know there's been days, even I've been in church, I've been out witnessing, I'm at home, wherever I am, I'm speaking to the Lord, and it's just like God says, no, I want you to go over there now. I'm like, okay. I don't know. Have you ever been that way before? God just leads you in a different direction. You're like, why am I doing this? Lord, I'm praying. Okay. You know, and God gives you peace, gives you joy, peace, understanding. Paul had that too. And we're led by the Spirit, and we're told by the Spirit, this is what we have to do. I love what it says here. And when I was in Evan this past week, I had preached about this. Romans chapter 15, 5 through 7, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward one another according to Christ Jesus." So we pray for one another. Number one, verse 6, "that you may be one mind and of one mouth glorifying God." So when we speak to one another, we know what to pray about. So we're glorifying God one to another in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, "Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us." So we receive each other, we meet each other, we know what to pray about. I have so many people here, it's been a blessing this past year, have told me and says, "You know, Pastor, pray for me." It's been so many blessings, and we've been going through the book of Jeremiah Wednesdays. People say, "Pray for this person." Sunday morning, pray for this morning. In Sunday school, it's the same way. Prayer requests will pop up. We're there for one another. It's mentioned four or five times in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. We do this, why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Paul had the mind of Christ. And Paul realized that, you know, it's time to deviate here. You realize with Paul, too, just as a quote, 12 times they went after to kill him in Acts so far. You have through mobs, ready to stone him, ready to kill him. Thank God that hasn't happened to us. But the threats are there. The threats are real. People don't like us. You know, it's better to stay away to avoid problems. As the best wisdom I got years ago as being a young pastor and as being a Christian, avoid problems as much as you can. Try to get along, like it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, to get along. I think it's 11 and 12, or 2 Timothy 4, 11 and 12. To get along, live peacefully with everybody. Live at peace. It's best to do that. And if people accuse you and you have no idea, say, "I had no idea." And I had to say this to a lady about a few weeks ago. I said, I am so sorry. I had no idea you were upset with me. And I had to apologize. I had to left a message on the phone. I have no idea what it was about. But apparently it had offended this person. And, so that's what I had to do. And apparently it took care of things. That person was okay. And they're very happy about that. But we're not here to offend people, get people upset. Now, it's different when we're sharing the gospel. And that's a spiritual battle. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. So Paul's saying here, look, verse 4. It's kind of interesting here. Paul has the idea, okay, I am not going to go this one way. I'm going somewhere else. And remember, the Jews are going to add one footnote here. And in Acts chapter 18, Jews remember what happened there when they were, I'm going back in 18, 12 through 17, it says this, and Gallio was a deputy of Achaia, and the Jews made an insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to judgment seat. Remember that the Jews were told by Gallio, hey, you know, you're wrong. You're going to let Paul go. He didn't do anything wrong. And it really upset those people that were out to get Paul. And I'm just saying this, so I believe the Lord wants me to say this. Sometimes when people are out to get you, sometimes they want to get to you. So have your guard up. Have your guard up. Be careful. Okay? And have the mind of Christ. 1, 2, have the armor of God. 3, be praying. So going back to this, let's get back into verse 4. So now Paul was going to take people with him, and there accompanied him into Asia was Sopater of Berea. And then you had also of Thessalonica, Aristarchus. Now, Aristarchus is where we get our name Aristocrat. He was apparently, he's from the nobility, a ruling class. And listen to this, Secunius. Secunius means number two. He was actually a slave. Slaves, they used to number them. They would say, okay, you know, here we go. We have Primus, in the Greek, is number one. 2 is secunius. In other words, you would have a number. But what was amazing, people, was that the outside world, the Gentiles, the people who weren't saved, the Jews who weren't saved, were seeing that these were two different classes of people. Isn't it amazing? The church has no divisions in it. Isn't it amazing? We all come from different backgrounds. I have not been hinted by anybody with arrogance around here, or they think that they're just better, or they belong to the fourth member of the Trinity. I don't sense that here in this church today. I have honest, loving, caring Christians that love the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would have to say here, according to Acts 20:28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood." The blood of Jesus Christ was purchased for this church we are in today. The precious Lamb of God, the shedding of the blood. So you had all different kinds of people. My point is, I'm sure back in that day, they were looking at Paul and his companions and saying, this guy who had a lot of nobility and from a ruling class, Sicinius, he's hanging around with this slave here, you know, Sicinius, and Astertius. And it's amazing, you know, in the world today, we need to make sure as Christians that we don't put walls up today and divide things. Unfortunately, a lot of churches put walls up today. That's why back in the 60s, you had a lot of falling away from the truth of the Word of God. People weren't allowed in the churches that had long hair or wore different clothes or looked different. And it was very shameful back in the 60s because you had to dress a certain way to be accepted by people in church. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people accountable for that. Thank God we don't do that here today. We make sure that we have the Word of God, the written Word of God. We have our church constitution. We don't deviate from that. But people can come just as I am. Just like that song says, just as I am. Thank God for that. So you had people traveling with Paul, and you had them there in verse 4. So you had Gaius from Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, Ticinus. And it's interesting, Ticinus too, eventually he took the letter that was written to Ephesus. If you look here in Ephesians, eventually he delivered that letter from Rome to Ephesus. And Tychicus was used a lot of the Lord. It says, but verse 21 in Ephesians 6 says, "But that ye also may know my affairs, and how Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make made known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that you might comfort your hearts. And peace be to the brethren, love and faith from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus in sincerity." Amen. In sincerity. So not only did these Christians, these same men, we don't have the time to get into them all, but they are mentioned throughout the New Testament. God is still using us. Some of us here are in our twilight years. Some of us are pretty much as it is during the day, because, you know, we haven't gotten there yet. But I tell you what power we have today as a church. What a blessing we've been to one another over the years and years to come before Christ comes back. And by the way, he could come back at any time. Somebody had mentioned the other day, well, maybe, you know, the reason why the United States is not mentioned in church prophecy is because the rapture will take place and there won't be that many people left in the United States. I wish that was so. I don't know about that. Okay, but I'm not going to get into that. I'll look at that later on. But the support that we have here we have support today in verse 4. So they went out, they went to the churches to get the offerings that were there because of the famine that happened and that for the people in Jerusalem. Verse 5 says this, and these going before tarried us before us at Troas. So now you have from Philippi and up in that northern area, you have Luke now is mentioned. They use the pronoun for Luke. Luke is now involved with this. Remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Now he's involved. So now you have 8 of them that are involved with this. And so isn't it wonderful that when we meet Christians, talk about in Sunday school, how we meet other Christians. There are other people in this world today. There are other people in churches. Not all the churches have all saved people. And a lot of churches are filled with a lot of unsaved people. God knows who it is, but I know you all, and I believe you are saved. I have no doubt. Okay? We're a small enough congregation to be blessed and know who we are, even those who are online that watch online. I know you're saved. You know, it's just a blessing to know when the Holy Spirit uses somebody to be a blessing to us. And they were there too, and Luke was. Now, Luke went on this trip. Verse 6, and when he sailed away from Philippi after days of unleavened bread, which was the Passover, which was in April. And it says here that, and it came unto them to Troas in about 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So their persistence continued. They waited a little bit longer because the Holy Spirit had not led them yet to go any further where Paul was. So they were at Troas at this time. You know, and then we see here, while they're there at Troas in verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together, they break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue the speech until midnight. I'm going to stop there. Okay? It's important. It's the very first time that this has been mentioned here on Sunday. People say, why is that important? Well, because you had to understand that Sabbath means the day of rest. That's all the word Sabbath means. And so it was used as a sign for the Mosaic Covenant. And, you know, and so there's a lot of Jews at that time that believe that, you know, we got to keep the Sabbath. Well, you know, there are churches that meet on Saturday, because they believe that Sunday should be a day of rest. There's a lot of Lutheran Catholic churches for years have been doing that around here in the state of Wisconsin. I've seen them there. And I've asked that some years ago, and they said, well, you know, you have to have a Sabbath coming up. And, of course, the Lord created everything in 6 days, and he rested. And that's where we get the idea of the Sabbath. But we worship on Sundays. Remember, the Seventh-day Adventists, they worship on Saturdays. And they don't believe in hell, and they don't believe in the atonement work of Christ. There's a lot of things in Seventh-day Adventists don't believe in. Be careful of the false teaching that they teach, because I've had some born-again believers, blood-bought, born-again believers that think, oh, Seventh-day Adventists must be going to heaven. No, they're not. Read your history. Google it sometime. Grab a book from the library. You can get into that some other time. But Spirit of God tells me to move on with this. It says here that the church began on Pentecost, which was on a Sunday. And so we see also in Scripture the command to lay by and store was carried out on a Sunday. And then Jesus appeared to John on the Lord's Day, which was understood to be on a Sunday. So, you know, and of course Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. But there are many other verses that support this. And so to be worshiping on Sundays. So, we're not here to break the Sabbath. We're here, we worship, we do take our day of rest. That's very important. But so, moving on here. So, they were there at that day. And so, Paul decided he was going to preach. And I know for people that preach, the average attention span for people today because they watch so much TV, so much screen time, they're out of it within 20 minutes. But, you know, you all know too, hey, if you can sit down and watch a TV show for a half an hour, 45 minutes, why can't you give the preacher our time listening to God's word a half an hour, 45 minutes? Amen? That's the way it is. I've never gotten any complaints from anybody here. Because you're all hungry for the word of God, so am I. You know? But unfortunately, with the worldly churches, they got to throw in all the everything else in on and get you an emotional high. And by the time the preaching of the word comes in, these people are just so exhausted because it's not the spirit of God. It's just a lot of emotions and a lot of noise and on and on and on. They bought into the world. But listen to this. Verse 8 says this. So it was about midnight, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, and they were gathered together. Now, oil burning lights can make you sleepy. You get around certain chemicals, things can make you weary and drowsy. So you need to be awake. So verse 9 says, and there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down to sleep, and he fell down from the third loft, about the third floor, and was taken up dead. That's a horrible thing to happen. You know, back in the old churches, the Puritan churches, they used to go around with a tickler. And, you know, let's say if one of our deacons would stand there with a tickler and go around and tickle you a little bit. You know, you fall asleep, wake up. Or they had also what was called as knockers. The Puritans used to go around with a stick, knock you in the side, wake up, you know. I don't see that happening today. But you know what? If I can't get your attention, whose attention can you get? I don't want you to have my attention. I want you to have God's attention. I want you to have the Holy Spirit's attention. So you had this young man. They say he was about 14 years of age. He was tired. How many of you have been, when you were younger, come right off work, come right to church? Isn't that wonderful when you can do that? And you're there because you love the Lord. You're there because you want to, you're hungry. When you're hungry, you want to have a good meal. So here he was, got up there, and he fell out the window. Very simply as that. And I love what Paul did. And Paul went down and fell on him. You know, Paul went right away. He didn't waste any time. Embraced him. And he says, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. You know, we shouldn't trouble ourselves over life situations. God will take care of everything. Now, it's interesting, spiritually speaking. Now, my homiletic teacher told me years ago in seminary, he says, don't spiritualize things in the Bible. Do the exegesis. Take it verse by verse and explain it. That's how we do it. That's what we're doing in Jeremiah. That's what we're doing in Acts. Not necessarily in Romans because we're going through a book. That's why I like to just study from God's word. Dig into it. And you can have these little gems. But they're on the spiritual side here. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7, it says, therefore, let us not sleep. It has the idea of sleeping with the world, getting comfortable with the world. It says, as you do others, but also let us watch and be sober. In other words, wake up. Wake up. And we need to do that more than ever because things are changing. Laws are changing, like I said last week. That's why I have the Christian Law Association back there on the backboard with different things. For they that sleep at night, and they that are be drunken in the night. In other words, they're of the world. They're going to do the worldly things. We need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. You realize that God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. I remember somebody telling me this a long time ago, men's Bible study in Alaska. He says there's such a thing as called as a chemical leading or spiritual leading. Now, I'm not knocking people who have to take medicines, but there's also the Holy Spirit of God. You realize the Nazis did this in World War II. They took speed. And you realize when they did they came into Poland and they rushed right through on there. They were on methadone. They were on methadone, and they were the ones that created it. The Germans back in 1932, They used to be a large manufacturer of illegal drugs. North Korea does that now. China does that now to bring the problem of the drug problem that we have. God is saying to us, I want you. I don't want something from the world. And they used to shout there in Germany, Sieh Heil, which meant my Father, my Savior. We don't do that, but the world says that. They don't realize it because they're deceived, but their own God is themselves. What I'm trying to say is that we're following the God of the Bible. We need to not be sucked in by the God of this world, and we need to be taken up and used of the Lord. So Paul took up this young man, and he healed him right on the spot. And so the people there, that was the only one that says in there that somebody had fallen asleep at that time when Paul was preaching. So we need not to trouble ourselves. Verse 11 says, and when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till a break of day, and so he departed. Have you ever been out in the fellowship that's been out all night long? I remember as a youth pastor, I remember we used to have pizza parties and doing things, and I remember, and I'm sure some of us here working youth work remember staying up. You know, they shut everything down, and all the youth are inside the church, and it was just wonderful being up all night long. Of course, you know, by the next day you're pretty tired, but they had such a good time in the Lord. It was such a blessing. They had broken bread. In other words, remember, when they had the Lord's Supper earlier, they could have very well had the agape feast because they used to have those simultaneously when the church got together. I remember churches back in that day, as they were starting off, they met at homes in different places. So you had this going on. And so they were there to the end of the day, and then they departed. So they went from Troas. Just follow with me here. And when they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. In other words, they were greatly comforted. They brought him along as well. So you had different age groups, different people. We're all from different ages, different backgrounds. And we all have something to share and to take with us here. So it says here, verse 13, and when they went before the ship and sailed to Assos, they're intending to take Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And so, verse 14, when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mylene. So, he spent time with the disciples, Paul did, before they moved on. And did what they were doing, supposed to be for the collection, for the love of the church. Verse 15, and when we sailed thence, we came next day over to Chios, and the next day we arrived in Samos, and tarried in Toeglium, and the next day we came to Miletus. So that all this traveling they did, this is about 30 miles south of Ephesus, and you say to yourself, why is that important? Because they went different places. And it was interesting, Paul had a pastor's heart, and he visited these churches and wanted to make sure they're doctrinally sound. Because right away, it says in his epistles, be careful of the wolves that come in, who devour the church, the sheep, God's people. So he's put under shepherds. He's taken Timothy and Luke and other people and assigned different places to check up. It's important, and we need to check up on one another, with ourselves first, because revival starts at home. You know, judgment starts with the house of God. So we need to check up on things. I'm not concerned about the church down the road because they're following their own shepherd. We have the shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, which we follow. I'm the under shepherd. I am supposed to be Christ-like and protect and feed and continue on with God's work, being a called evangelist, and so on and so forth. And so each one of us has been called. And so it was at this time, verse 16, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So remember, at this time, the temple was still there. It had not been destroyed. People were still going back to Jerusalem. A lot of historians will tell you that Christians, even Jewish people, would still go back to the temple and would still celebrate the feasts. There were people who were Christians who got saved, but they would go back to this time for observance to see what was going on. And they believe that Paul arrived in Jerusalem about 50 days later in June of that year. And so sometimes we like to go to events and celebrations. I tell you what, if I were there and if you were there at that time, we would love to go to Jerusalem. I would love to see the temple. In Pennsylvania, they have like an actual, we went to visit it years ago, and the tabernacle too. They had replicas of it. You could actually see what it was like. Not in dimension totally, but you had a good idea what everything looked like. Not on a page, but actually in person. You know, all how the temple was set up and, you know, the holiest of holies and so on and so forth. It's fascinating. Learn a lot. You know, if you ever have a time to go on a trip to do that, do that. Be blessed. You feel like you were just right there with Paul and the rest of them in the time of Jesus' day. It's a blessing. So 3 years Paul spent in Ephesus at this time. And we're going to find out, too, that next week that he gets together with the elders. And that's a different message. Now, he didn't go back to Ephesus. Because remember, there were pagans, there were people that hated him. There were religious people that hated him. And so we may have people we need not to go back to. It's best just to stay away from people like troublemakers, like I was saying last week. Some people you just need to stay away from because they're trouble, and all they're looking for is trouble. So, looking at this, what should we do in this situation? I love what it says here. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, says, love rejoices in the truth. When you're walking in the truth, you're set free. A loving church should do this. Literally, with the truth, truth is personified as love. When love sees truth manifested in the lives of people, love greatly rejoices along with it. You rejoice in the truth. Even if things are going sour, things are going south, things don't look right, you still know because you're walking in truth, number one. Number two, verse 7, love bears all things. Literally, it means to cover, to protect. We're here to protect, to cover one another. Thus, it means to endure, to suffer through it. Thus, in regards to the sins or failings of others, there's a willingness to bear with them patiently. We're all there to bear with this through ourselves, and others help us too. We're all in this together in the body of Christ. 3, verse 7, believes all things in regard to conduct of others, to believe that they may be actuated by good motives and that they intend no injury, that there is a willingness to suppose as far as it can be. So it believes all things. It doesn't think evil. It believes all things. God doesn't want us to put our head in the ground, but love manifests itself, and we're doing right with God. Verse 7 also says it hopes all things. In other words, that it will all turn out for well to the conduct of others. And that's what it means. It will all turn out okay. I had somebody share with me last week how, you know, they had problems at home. And they had so many issues. This week, it's not bad at all. It all worked out. You know? Isn't that wonderful? Even though we know there will probably be more issues down the road, but you know what? I can work with love. I can work with Jesus. That's okay with me. And it works for us as a church. It's what we have to work with. And last but not least, in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, endures all things. Bears under, sustains, and does not complain bears under all persecutions at the hand of man, all efforts to injure person, property, reputation, etc., etc. So, that's what we're there for. We're working it all out hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants us to do, is for the love of the church. So actually, it's an expectation in giving, number one. Number two, it's in persistence. Number three, it's an availability. We're available for one another in 1 Corinthians 13. We're there for one another. We need to be there for one another. Because what can the body do if it doesn't have an arm? Well, you know, it's hard. What happens if you miss a leg? Well, that's even worse. You know, if you're in a wheelchair, well, you know, you have the head and it keeps the rest of it, the body going, right? Because we're all suffering. We all suffer physically and mentally and spiritually. But God always takes care of us. And he's always got something there for us, which is beautiful. And that's called love. That's called love. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. And thank you that you died for the church. And thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood. And Lord, we just thank you that you've given us the opportunity. We're here today in this church. We thank you that you are the head of the church and we're the body. And you're taking good care of us. And we're so thankful as a church. No matter where the hiccups come, where the bumps come in life, you're still there for us. And even people who we don't see, people that we pray for, we know that they're present with you. So naturally, we pray for them. And Lord, we thank you that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We thank you for the journey that Paul had with his disciples, with your disciples that are all your disciples. And Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be your disciples. And we have a journey in life to follow as well. We thank you, Lord, that you take no division with classes, number one. Number two, Lord, that you heal us, that you take care of us as your will would be. Not totally, but that's where as far as you want us to go so far in your will. We pray for your perfect will. And three, Lord, we thank you for your love that abounds, Lord, and has no end to it. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you for how beautiful you are. And thank you for how fair you are. Lord, and God, we just pray that, God, we can be as beautiful as you by your grace. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your encouragement. We need you to give us what we need to get through this day. Pray for wisdom for each person here. And thank you for the prayers, for the support, and for the love, and for the fellowship, and everything over the years that you have done for us. All in your name, Jesus, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. Amen.